Today's episode of JNL Watches is absolutely not brought to you by Goo Gone.
Ooh.
Goo Gone. Get rid of goo.
Done.
Done. We just came up with a Goo Gone slogan.
I like it.
Let's start our show.
I like this too. Sorry, I got distracted by this Oreo commercial.
They're Oreo Thins. They're gross.
Fucking Christ. Yeah, why are we promoting this Thins?
No, not into it.
Boop, boop. Hi, everyone, and welcome to another episode of JNL Watches. I'm Jess Leah.
And I am Josh Prime.
And today we're watching Buffy Season 6, Episode 11, Gone.
And in this episode, the trio finally uses their weird diamond thiefed gun moment.
Ooh.
And inadvertently turns Buffy invisible.
Uh-oh.
Buffy, rather than being distraught about this, becomes incredibly giddy over the possibility of not having to live in her own life,
mm-hmm.
sleeps with Spike openly, has a whole bunch of craziness, tortures a
social worker,
and turns out that the whole invisibility thing is gonna kill her, and she finally snaps out of it and brings herself back, and we finally discover the identity of the trio.
Ooh, a lot happens.
A lot happens. We also have one of the worst wigs ever.
Yeah, Buffy, who will have a mid-episode haircut, is preparing for that by wearing this terrible wig.
Yeah, because clearly the haircut has already happened.
Yeah.
Now, how difficult would it have been to film this stuff before getting the haircut?
You know, probably not that bad. No.
Like, it's just such a terrible, it's such a terrible wig. It is so bad. The parts of it that are the worst, the part,
mm-hmm.
it moves.
It does move.
It moves. It is currently just to the left of center. And as this progresses, it slides further and further left. It's really bad. The color is also not the color she's had any other episode, because her hair is way blonder than this.
Yeah.
It's also not as curly as it normally is. It's really bad. Have I made you watch The Craft yet?
Yes. I like The Craft.
She wears a wig the whole movie, the main girl.
Oh, she does?
Yes. So the actress who is from... Did I make you watch Empire Records yet?
Yeah.
The girl from Empire Records, who's also in The Craft?
Yeah.
How she shaves her head?
Uh-huh.
That movie took place immediately before The Craft.
Oh.
So she had to wear a wig the whole time.
Oh.
So her character is wearing a wig the entire time, and you can tell when you know it, but if you didn't know it, you'd have no way.
Yeah.
This is bad.
Yeah.
Like, and I think it's harder because we see this character every day.
Yeah.
We're familiar with her, so when her hair is really bad. Although, on The Office... The main guy, what's his name? Pam and Jim.
Jim.
Jim wants to get his hair cut for a role, and he asked if he could wear a wig, and they told him no, because you can always tell. And so he wore a wig for a scene and didn't tell them all, and then they didn't notice, and he was like, yeah, I'm wearing this wig. And he went and was like, boop, and then let him cut his hair. So, like, you can get a good wig. Buffy did not get a good wig.
No. Lace front.
Well, I mean, I think it might legitimately be a lace front. Not that we see enough of the hairline for it to matter. It's really the part and the color that's wrong.
Yeah.
It's just not the color her hair is.
That's fair. So in the opening scene, we are watching Willow throw away her magics.
Yeah, they're throwing away all the stuff.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
A lot of candles, a lot of sculptures, a lot of crystals.
Yeah, so she is going all in. Cold turkey, no more.
No more magique.
Ooh. Meanwhile, we're now here with the trio. And they're playing with their new laser gun, zappy, invisible thing.
And my favorite is that Warren shoots the chair they sit in and makes it invisible. Jonathan hops on, gives it a couple spins, and then he makes it visible again by shooting at Jonathan. And Jonathan goes, you penis!
Hilarious.
I love that. Who are you playing as?
Oh, I want to be Jonathan.
You want to be Jonathan? Excellent. I am going to be Willow. I was going to pick Buffy, but I don't know if we should count when she's not physically on screen. So I'm going to pick Willow instead. Keep it simple.
I mean, I feel like you could just be like Buffy's invisible voice. That would be super fun.
Just wasted this whole episode.
I mean, listener, we challenge you to do that.
That seems
fun.
Also, despite the fact that this episode is almost entirely about how Buffy's cut her hair,
mm-hmm.
Anya has yet another new haircut.
Okay, her hair is wild.
It's changed every week and no fuss is made. No. Buffy gets a minor haircut, and everybody's like, oh, Buffy.
Okay, to be fair, her hair is probably just as long as mine right now. And if I were to get my hair cut as short as she did, that's like a change.
That is a change.
Yeah.
I guess I'm just a little desensitized because I regularly grow my hair to this length and then shave it all off.
I know.
So I'm just like, whatever.
Yeah.
If I made it into an emotional moment every time, Jesus.
Yeah. Meanwhile, I'm very excited for hair salons to one day reopen and it be okay for me to get my hair cut because
The community college system has decided they're going to be closed for the rest of this academic year.
I know.
Just FYI. I know.
All right. So when I come to you with hair salon scissors I've ordered from Amazon, just...
I'll use regular scissors. I don't give a shit. What would you want if I was going to cut your hair? Not that I'm planning on it, but yeah. What would you want?
I just want the dead ends to go away. You know, just like a trim.
Well, because you don't have, like, layers, do you?
They're, like, long layers.
So, no.
Describe that.
It's the answer. Yeah. Let me see. Everything seems to be generally the same length. I feel like it would be pretty easy to cut this. I'm not going to do it, but I feel like it would be pretty easy to cut.
All right. One day.
I mean, honestly, if you had asked me a month ago, I would have done it. And then if it was wrong, it would grow back by now.
Nobody will care.
Nobody would even know. Honestly, I could cut your hair now. As long as I didn't cut it shorter than shoulder length, anytime you went on a Zoom, you just throw it behind you. Yeah. Nobody would know. People are like, oh, you didn't even touch your hair. Like, whatever.
Yeah. It's fun. Oh, look at all these cute pups.
Oh, this is a commercial for Chewy, the dog company.
Oh, cute.
So Buffy's wig is in this scene. It's so fucking terrible.
Yeah. Oh. Also confusing. So her shirt that she's wearing, I thought originally there was like a cute little like bow tie thing happening on the front of it. It's just really see-through so you can see your black bra underneath.
Oh, sure.
Mm-hmm.
I love to see a bra.
Yeah. It's a statement.
Who doesn't love a bra moment?
Uh-huh.
Also, like, Willow's hair has definitely changed a little. Anya's hair has definitely changed a little. Why are we so upset about Buffy's hair changing? Also, Buffy, the wig is so bad. And, like, it wouldn't be so bad if it was, like, pulled behind her shoulders.
Yeah.
But the fact that she's wearing it with, like, 90% of the hair hanging in front of her face. Like, Sarah Michelle Gellar has never worn her hair that way.
It's also just a lot more volume than I'm used to seeing on her head.
There's just there's so much hair.
And I think it's worse in the light.
And who legitimately does the, like, take this piece from here and pull it to the front and then put the bangs under it look that she's currently got going on?
This thing? Well, I can't do it because I don't have bangs, but, like, one of these situations?
Yeah, like, nobody does that. No. It's not a thing unless you're a Fox News contributor.
Oh, God. Don't get me started.
There's so much bad wig happening.
Oh, and here comes Spike. He must have smelled Willow's bacon.
Eggs and bacon cooking.
And is showing up for breakfast, apparently.
He's here for breakfast bright and early. He's actually here looking for his cigarette lighter, which Buffy has found during the big magic purging and has put in her front pocket, which he definitely is able to see from a distance, apparently.
Yeah.
Somebody should ask David Fury, the writer of this episode, like, who can see a cigarette lighter? And it's a Zippo. We're not talking about, like, one of those big kitchen ones. What the fuck?
And someone's jeans.
Also, Spike calls her Goldilocks twice in this sequence, motivating her to want to cut her hair because she doesn't want Spike to like anything about her.
Which also seems, like, kind of extreme.
It is. It's childish. Also, they shoot at Buffy here, and you can see the hair part, which is the most wiggy hair part I've ever seen.
Yeah, yeah.
Even just her head shape is wrong.
Yep.
Because her hair is obviously pulled up.
Yep.
To do the thing.
It's, like, real pointy.
She's got a cone head moment.
Yeah.
God, I just detest this wig. I detest it with every fiber of my being. I think she was wearing a wig for the episode where she came back from the dead in the very beginning, mm-hmm. I think.
It would make sense.
And that was a better wig.
Yeah.
Or at least it was styled in such a way that I didn't notice. But
it was also really
wig.
Dark.
Yes, we didn't light it in day. We tried to hide it a little more.
Yeah.
I'm with you, though. Why not just shoot the parts before she cut it, mm-hmm. and then shoot the parts where she cut it after she cut it?
Mm-hmm. That seems like a better choice.
Yeah. Now that we're looking at everybody's hair, Dawn has that haircut of the 90s and early aughts where it's just grow and then cut it straight across at the bottom. Just like, no shape at all. Just straight line.
Yep.
You could pull that off, I bet. You have curly hair, that would be weird.
I know. But if I straightened it more often than never, that would be good.
If you straightened it and then had me cut it, then when it curled, it would be looking normal.
Yeah.
But I don't know that I'm confident cutting curly hair.
It's the same. It's actually easier to cut when it's dry.
Well, obviously.
What curly hair? It's like, you cut it like this much, and it's like, oh no, it's now like this long.
Yeah, because the heaviness is what makes it
I know.
Lengthier. But if you made it straight, then I'd have a much better sense of, like, what every strand is individually doing. Anyway, let's talk about this social worker.
Sure.
Who has come to the house.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
And apparently they had an appointment and Buffy forgot because she's terrible at life.
Yeah, doesn't seem great.
She doesn't do well, so she sees a baggie full of sage, thinks that it's an obscene amount of weed for a single household. Sees Spike with his leather jacket and hand in his pants and is like, oh, this family is clearly inappropriate.
Yeah. Here's Willow and his has questions.
Honestly, though, Buffy should have pretended she was a lesbian. That probably would have scored her points.
I know.
Like, I'm in a committed long-term relationship with a woman.
Yeah. Come at me, bro.
Report me. Go ahead. I'll say you hate gay people so fast.
Does that carry the same weight then that it does now?
Probably carry more weight then.
Oh, even better.
Because now people are more into the gays.
Yeah, that's fair.
I mean, at this point, you couldn't even show women kissing. It was a whole moment.
That's also true.
Just saying.
Yeah, she should have leaned into it.
Lean into the theory that she might be gay. Mm-hmm. So yeah, so Buffy is having a bad experience with this lady. This lady decides after being there for all 4 seconds, she's seen enough to threaten to take Dawn away.
You know, I haven't really had any exposure to social workers other than one time I showed up to school with a black eye and apparently that raised all sorts of questions.
Oh, sure. Mm-hmm. Well, I always think that's funny because at your school that raised a bunch of concerns. When I was a kid, I walked into my mom's lit cigarette because she was holding her hand like this and I walked into it and burned myself. And I went to school and told my teacher that my mom burned me with a cigarette. I didn't tell her that I walked into a cigarette. I told her my mom burned me with a cigarette. No calls were made.
What?
No calls were made at all. That's the difference between private school and public school, my friend. In fact, what the teacher said was, that's what happens when you smoke. Yep, the teacher was like, let's not talk about the abuse he's probably undergoing. Let's turn this into an anti-smoking message.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. I had a big scar on my neck for a while.
Oh. I mean, it would be cool now. I mean, it's hilarious.
It's a great story.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Then probably not so much, but now it's great.
I don't remember it. I remember it hurting.
I can imagine that. Yeah.
Yeah. You know?
No.
I always think of Nightmare on Elm Street where the girl puts cigarettes out on her wrist.
Ooh.
It's like pretty rough.
Oh no.
I mean, it's a self-harm behavior that I imagine has fallen out of favor since people don't really smoke anymore.
I cry when I like cut myself accidentally on like paper. So I don't want to burn
myself.
You're
weakling.
I know. I'm working on it. Going back to the original thought.
Oh, absolutely.
I have less limited experience with social workers.
Mm-hmm.
While this one seems kind of like a bitch.
Yep.
She's coming from a good place. Like, she's concerned about Dawn's safety.
Which, honestly, Dawn should be taken away.
Yeah,
regularly exposed to deadly force.
Yeah.
if we weren't already aware of Dawn and everything, she should probably not live here.
Yeah. Maybe, like, with a friend and their parent.
Yeah, doesn't Buffy have an aunt? Joyce went to go stay with an aunt once for Thanksgiving in season 4.
I mean, she has a father still.
They just can't seem to find the man.
That might be a better suited spot for Dawn.
If your father was still alive mm-hmm. and your mother had died, mm-hmm. would you go naturally? Would you default to your father or to your oldest sibling? I feel like you'd probably default to your father.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like the social worker should be more concerned about the fact that the father's not around, but whatever. Buffy cuts off her wig hair.
Woo, finally.
And shows up with what I think now is real hair.
Yeah.
Just unstyled. Oh, it's so bad. It's just so bad.
Mm-hmm.
So the trio is now sitting outside of the espresso pump, planning to use their invisibility ray. It appears they're trying to go look at bikini waxes up close.
Like,
they're outside of a bikini wax place, so, like, are they literally just trying to get close to vaginas? Because that's weird.
I hope so.
Like, this whole thing. They stole a diamond. They froze a man. They, like, did all of this stuff to see vaginas. Get the internet. Like, what is wrong with you?
Okay, I was a very young human in the 90s and early aughts.
Sure.
Maybe not, like, very young, but, like...
You were youthful.
Yeah, I didn't look at porn back then. So my question is...
I mean, you only started like a month and a half ago.
I know, that's fair. So my question is, was there porn on the internet at this point?
Yeah. And there was cable porn, like, you could go buy a movie. Like, there was porn.
Oh, yeah. They had the adult section. I remember that at the movie theater.
They had that little curtain at the Best Buy. That existed.
Yeah, all right.
They could absolutely go get themselves some porn. They don't need to steal a diamond, use their invisibility, invent an invisibility ray, use it, and then enter a bikini wax shop. Also, not for nothing, if I were a heterosexual man, which I recognize is not a reference point I have in front of me,
sure.
But you know what I probably don't want to go see? Freshly waxed vaginas.
Yeah.
Like, that's not the most ideal time.
No, things are red and...
Yeah. It's not a good moment.
Weird. Yeah.
It's not a good moment for a vagina.
No. Wait till, like, day two.
That's like being really into post-childbirth vagina. Like, that's not the best moment.
No.
There's better lighting. There's better times.
Post-childbirth. No. Not here for that. Right.
That's where they were headed next. They were going to go to the maternity ward and go, look at that. Mm-mm. Like, no, mm-mm. Team. First of all, gross Peeping Tom nonsense. Second of all, why freshly waxed vaginas?
Yeah. I have been also watching a lot of Say Yes to the Dress.
Oh, of course.
Why not? And in one episode, they, like, followed people that had been on the show previously and did, like, a where are they now? This one couple that were interviewed, they just went on and on about how they're currently having a baby, but how they had to, like, keep the magic alive but keep having regular sex.
Sure.
And I just got all horrified.
That's how babies get dimples.
Yeah.
Seriously. So Buffy shows up at the magic box, and she's all happy about her invisibility. And we get a bunch of, like, dopey special effects things where she's using two wooden balls as eyes, and she's talking with a skeleton, and all this kind of silly bullshittery.
I like this. I wish Buffy leaned into more and messed with Anya's seating chart
for her
wedding, because that would be super fun.
Also, like, Buffy gets put at table four. Buffy is clearly table one material.
I know.
Like, but how is it difficult to figure out the table setup for Xander's wedding?
Well, especially if she's in the wedding.
Yeah. Table one, Buffy, Willow.
Yeah. Giles,
Dawn.
Tara, she's invited.
Tara's invited. Then, you know, you've got the family table with Xander's family. Then you've got Anya's table with Anya's people. That's your wedding. Yeah. Done. This is not a challenge.
No.
It would be different if they were younger and, like, they were around their families a lot more, and then you have to, like, balance all of that out.
Sure.
But no, they live relatively independent lives.
Also, I know that I've never done planned a wedding before, but, like, how hard is it to, like, put people on a table?
Every TV sitcom has drama about the table settings. Also, like, if your wedding is any good at all, nobody's sitting at their fucking tables.
No.
So you sit at the table for literally the 10 minutes it takes to scarf down the $4 chicken you got, and then you go and dance the whole time.
Yeah. So, like, and also, I've been to weddings, too, where they just haven't done seating arrangements, and it's been fine. Like, just...
Yeah. Well, I mean, weddings are a whole industry that is far more complicated than they need to be.
Yeah.
It's a fucking church experience, which nobody wants to deal with.
Exactly.
Followed by a dinner with a bunch of people, 4% of which you know.
Yeah.
And that's it. Because as a guest, you know literally the four people at your table.
Yeah.
And you know no one else.
Exactly.
It's like boring as shit. I don't want to go to your wedding. I'm not interested.
I especially don't want to go to a Catholic wedding that is 3 fucking hours long.
Yeah. No. Weddings are the worst.
I agree.
Weddings are so terrible. It's like, look, first of all, you're getting married. Good for you.
Yeah.
Second of all, it's an excuse to get drunk. I can do that for free lots of other ways. Third of all, I don't want to wear a suit ever.
Yeah.
Suits are terrible. Suits are butts. Nobody likes to wear them. They're the worst.
Agreed. They're not comfortable.
And, like, destination weddings? Oh, choke on a dick. The worst. So now I have to take a vacation with a bunch of people I don't know? That sounds like garbage.
See, I don't hate a destination wedding because it'll weed people out I don't want at my wedding.
I mean, destination weddings are great because only people who have money are going to go. That sounds nice.
Exactly.
Oh, no. 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 The whole thing is just indulgent. Ugh.
Especially people that spend $50,000+ on a wedding. That's a house, people.
I guess it's because I have no intention of, like, running out and getting married. Maybe if I did, I would be, like, really into it. But, like, I'm just not. I just don't care.
I want to get married that one time, you know?
Yeah, totally.
But in a fun way and not an obscene
And, like,
way.
I'll go to a wedding. It's fine. But, like, let's not pretend it's anything other than an obligation.
Oh, yeah. Like, just as long as you obligate to be my Judas of the past.
Yeah, and it's fine. Because here's the thing. Like, if you were getting married tomorrow and you were like, Josh, I'm having a wedding, I would go like, oh, that's so great for you. I'm so excited. But I'm not excited for me to go to the wedding. That's not the exciting part. The exciting part is that you're going to get married. Like, the wedding is a fucking party where I have to buy you a blender. Like, that's not a thing.
Just be my Judas of the past.
Oh,
make it fun. Wear pajamas.
Those are the things. Oh my god, yes. Oh, if weddings were gonna be a thing, and we were gonna make weddings great again, then pajamas for sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Start with cake.
Clearly,
Easy. Easy fixes right at the top.
I want people drunk before they show up to my wedding.
Pre-game. Absolutely. Like, this is great.
Like, if you're not doing a beer bong before you walk down the aisle, what are you doing with yourself?
I want, like, a Mystery Science Theater wedding where it's, like, acceptable to catcall and acceptable to, like, yell things out I during like the wedding it. About this life.
Yeah, I kind of want cue cards to come for big the old audience, like, yeah. Ooh, here. Yeah.
Oh, have, like, a hype man. Just, like, I think this, we're on to something. Oh, this is great. Oh, I so love good. This. I love this for us. Mm-hmm. Let's get married.
Okay. I mean, the tax benefits alone. Oh,
we totally should. We'll need a prenup.
Yeah.
Oh, man. No, I can't. It's. I just don't get the point. It's about the two of you. Get married. Go. Do it. And then have a celebration some other time.
Yeah. Exactly. Ideal. Yeah. It's just a piece of paper. Sign it at City Hall.
It's like a diploma. Nobody cares but you.
Yeah. Awesome.
You know, this giant ceremony and listen to 700 names you don't know to hear the one you do. Ugh, who cares?
I fucking hate graduations. All right, meanwhile on Buffy.
Oh, right. We had our own whole bitch fest about weddings. Sorry, newlyweds in the listener base.
So yeah, Buffy is now invisible, is wrecking havoc. She's giving fashion advice to people that are wearing a studded trucker hat.
Studded purple hats.
Why not? And now she's going to go torment a social worker that was just at our house.
Yeah.
Because it makes sense. I mean,
This social work office is palatial compared to a real social work office. They've got huge space.
Yeah. Do you think a real social work office would have actual, like, offices
there? Yes, because the conversations the social workers have are definitely confidential.
Okay.
So, like, you're not having them in the middle of a fucking room like these people are.
Yeah.
But it has to be this way so that when Buffy messes with this lady, all the other social workers can give her weird looks. Like, what's wrong with you? Why are you so fucking weird?
Yeah.
I love that Buffy takes it to a really dark place. She steals her coffee mug and whispers, "Kill. Kill Doris." Like, that's dark.
Yeah. Yeah, and clearly messes with her, because she's going to run into what I presume to be a supervisor of some sort, and it doesn't look good.
Doesn't look like Doris is going to be keeping her job for very long.
No. Which makes me sad. I mean, not that she had it coming, but
we also never interact with this social worker again, and we never... She has to have a reevaluation, Buffy does, and that never happens, so that's I guess it went well.
I don't remember her meeting with the social worker again.
Yeah. Well, Dawn is 15 now,
uh-huh.
Right? So she's 16 next year, 17 in season 8 of the comics, and 18 in season 9 of the comics. Oh, man. They got to season 11.
Of the comics?
Of the comics, yeah. So assuming that it was a year at a time, she got to 20 years old. Oh, considering some of the things that happened in the comics, that makes me very nervous.
Oh.
I'll tell you about them when we're not currently doing the podcast, because okay. Some of them are mild spoilers for what's happening now.
Oh, mm-hmm. Very fun. Oh, yeah, so here's the supervisor. He's a weird checkered tie.
Yeah, it's past his belt, which is unacceptable.
Ooh, that's a thing?
Yeah, it should be right at your belt line. It shouldn't hang over.
Oh, no, I'm learning so much.
Yep.
I wonder if he has a... Is it a safety protector for his pen?
A pocket protector?
Yeah, that's it.
It doesn't appear so.
Rude.
He's gonna get ink in his pocket. How sad.
That was a thing, right? I'm not making this up.
Oh yeah, pocket protectors. So that if your pen explodes, it doesn't get on your thing and it keeps them organized.
Oh.
It's a little plastic, like, holster for a bunch of pens.
Oh. Mm-hmm. How fun.
Yeah.
I don't worry,
Also, thing. Just put a pen in your pocket or assume there'll be a pen at the place you're going because of how pens are everywhere.
Generally true.
Yeah. I don't feel the need to bring a pen anywhere. I just assume that if I'm going somewhere that's an office, I can ask for a pen and I'll be given one because it's really? An office. Yeah.
I always bring pens. I'm like super nervous and then I...
Where are you going that doesn't have pens?
Yeah, that's fair.
You go to a bank, they have fucking pens on chains. You go to any office on our campus, they all have pens.
Yeah, that's fair. Readily available too.
Yeah. And if they don't have pens, what kind of fucking office are they? Listen, this is about them, not about me.
You're asking the good questions.
I don't even bring paper anymore. I'm like, you will give me all supplies. Thank you.
You know what I really want? Like I have pad folios, but like the pad part.
Where that goes in them?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just want one.
I have a drawer full of them. I'll get you some.
Oh, thanks.
You know, So Willow has found the dumpster and the tire tread and the fire hydrant and the pylon, which is a traffic cone, but they keep calling it a pylon for some reason.
Oh, weird.
Yeah, don't know what that's about.
No.
But she found it all herself, and she's using spray paint to, like, identify the invisible things, and she's not using magic.
She's doing great.
Yeah.
Day one, real into it.
Absolutely.
I feel like day one's always the easiest, no?
I mean, yeah, I guess, until you have your first craving. Totally.
Yeah, that's fair.
Although she almost floated a book earlier, and Xander suspected she might be doing magic.
True. How dangerous of her.
Yeah.
But I do like her detective skills. It's like OG Willow.
Also, this location is not where the espresso pump is.
No.
So, weren't we near the espresso pump, or were we not near the espresso pump?
We're definitely near the hairdressers and the lady bushwhacking salon.
Absolutely.
But I thought the espresso pump was nearby, too.
Yeah, well, I mean, there's no parking on the street where the espresso pump is, so all those cars...
Shouldn't be there.
Shouldn't be there. So Spike is sitting like a bisexual person, and mm-hmm. he then goes and gets a little jar of blood.
Yeah, and then in walks Invisible Buffy.
Hey, Invisible Buffy.
And Spike's gonna be real confused for a minute, and then realize that it's actual Buffy, and they're gonna get it on, and this is great.
When she rips open his shirt.
Mm-hmm.
Also, they imply that she's giving him oral sex while invisible. Question.
Sure.
When that happens, does his penis disappear, or is it still visible in her head?
It still has to be visible, right? I think it just would look like an erection.
But, like, if she eats food, does the food become invisible, or is it visible in her intestines moving through her body?
Oh. Okay, that's a good question.
This is the things that I think about.
Huh.
So here's the deal. Later in the episode, she starts sucking on his earlobe, and his earlobe moves but doesn't become invisible.
True.
So that says to me that if she were to eat or drink anything, it would be visible inside of her.
Yeah. I would expect if she was eating a sandwich, for example, that we would see the sandwich floating, we would see bites coming off of it, and then, yeah, I think...
Then masticated sandwich would work down her body.
Yeah, yeah.
And then, in theory, those nutrients are getting broken down by your stomach and working their way into your bloodstream. Visible.
Yeah.
I think we found a hole with this invisibility ray.
Yeah.
Oh, we officially had the pylon turn into pudding, and Anya says, an unpleasant tactile experience, one of my favorite lines of all of Buffy.
I mean, it looks like cotton candy stickiness, which doesn't look great.
Yeah, it's not good.
Mm-mm.
So they need to get in touch with Buffy before she turns into goo, apparently.
Right, which is why I keep wanting to call this episode Goo instead of Gone, because it's confusing.
Yeah, it is confusion. Yeah.
There's also Goo Gone, which...
A great product.
I agree.
Non-spawn, but great product.
They should sponsor us.
Oh, they should. Who do we have to reach out to that? Who's the PR team of Goo Gone?
I have no clue.
Who are we kidding? Anybody who listens to our podcast is already aware of Goo Gone because it is a national treasure.
It's so good. Stick that in the same category as Stevie Nicks. Like,
you want to get that residue off of a glass lit thing so you can put some other stuff in it? You just use a little Goo Gone, done.
Exactly. Those stupid, annoying, like... sticker tag things that they put on things that shouldn't have those sticker tags things, and then you rip them off and there's
Touch a Goo Gone. Done.
I know.
You shop at Marshall's where they, for some reason, punch a bunch of holes in their sticker so it doesn't ever come off in one piece. What the fuck, Marshall's?
I know.
What's your problem?
I'm so angry
by
you.
Why do you hate me?
Marshall's, TJ Maxx, Home Goods, you fucking are the same.
Your stickers have weird circle cuts in them.
I hate them.
What is happening to us right now? Let's take a quick break so we can do an advertisement.
Okay.
All right. We'll be right back to you. We're on our official commercial break.
Ooh.
Let's see. Last week you were talking about the things you were watching. I guess I should talk about things I'm watching, but I'm really not watching anything. I am playing a lot more The Sims.
Of course.
Still. I will say this. There's a new Sims pack that has come out. Journey to Batuu. The Star Wars themed Sims pack, which I have strong feelings about, and they are not positive.
Correct.
So I have not purchased that one, but I have been playing a lot of The Sims. I almost have all the packs at this point. I can't say that. I have like half of the packs, but that's still a significant amount. They've been making this game for years at this point.
Sims, if you're going to make a Star Wars pack, should just expand to make like Gilmore Girls.
Well, I can make a Gilmore Girls. There already are mermaids. That happened.
Oh, okay.
I don't have it yet, but it's going to happen. All and right, when fair. I do, I'll be like, hey, Gilmore Girls is happening. But we could make the Gilmore Girl house and make Rory and the other one.
That'd be so fun.
Yeah.
All right.
Very doable. I was watching somebody on YouTube who did the vampire pack and moved Buffy and Sookie and like all vampire themed characters in. Pretty fun.
I do like that.
But yeah. Anyways, let's get to our back to our show, shall we?
Okay.
Okay. We are back, and the trio is working on the invisibility gun. Ray? What are they calling it? The invisibility device.
Yeah.
Blinvisible, as Xander calls it.
Oh, that's true. That's way fun.
I love when a character on a TV show says, rhymes with, and then uses the word with a new letter. It's a pretty standard joke, but it works.
It does work. Well, what rhymes with invisible, like, on its own?
Indivisible.
Oh, yeah.
Trying to think of anything else that ends in
I know, I know.
Sensible, I guess. It's too long a word to rhyme with.
It's true.
But indivisible, I came up with pretty fucking quick.
That was you had it at the ready. I was very impressed.
What's the word that rhymes with visible? I was like, I got you.
I approved.
That's it.
Oh, Warren is such a dick. We never really talked about him, but
Warren's an asshole. It's true.
I just don't like him. The other two at least are like kind of cute, very nerdy.
Well, they're funny.
Yeah.
He's not really funny.
No.
He's just a dickhead.
Yeah.
Xander, on the hunt for Buffy, goes to Spike's crypt and catches him literally having sex with Buffy while she's invisible.
This is my favorite part of this episode.
I think my favorite part of the episode is not just that this happened, but that he tries to hide it by doing push-ups in her.
Yeah. Which is also hilarious. Like, who doesn't watch this and is like, oh yeah, he's totally just doing naked push-ups.
I mean, first of all, let's be real. Xander is clearly no Nancy Drew, Sherlock Holmes.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
He's none of those things. You're looking for an invisible girl. Spike is clearly humping an invisible being. Yeah. You don't put two and two together, Spike, Xander? Like, come on, dude.
Yeah. Like, also, his earlobe is going to be moving in a minute.
Yeah.
It's very noticeable.
He's
pushing something away.
Yeah, if you were talking to me and my earlobe randomly started moving, that's something that would draw your eye.
Yeah.
Like, I get that he's probably just looking at Spike's chiseled pecs, but, like, still.
Sure.
You think you'd go, your fucking ear's moving, you freak show.
Yeah.
Spike, Xander must just be, like, a locked eyes kind of person.
I mean, even still.
Yeah.
He's
subtlety. Yeah. Really putting the B in it there.
Yeah.
Let's take a look at our listener mail while this continues, this train wreck.
Sure.
We only have one this week.
Hmm.
And it is from our good friend Omega.
Ooh.
So let's take a look at that, shall we?
We shall.
All right. So, dear Josh Prime and Just Leah, Invisible Slayer's got to be way more effective than the standard variety.
It's true.
It doesn't make sense to make her invisible.
No.
Even though there's some plot development, this is mostly a snooze for me. So I won't have much to say except, we're your arch nemesis. I'm calling BS on Buffy looking so well put together after she is made visible again. How was she able to put her clothes back on? Or lip gloss post-sexing Spike.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, I love how he goes, if you can find your clothes, put them back on.
Just saying. I mean, she does have a point.
She must have folded them neatly and left them somewhere.
As you do when you're having the intercourse.
That aside, I do wonder, if you had an invisibility ray, what would you do with it?
So, like, I've always wanted to be, like, a fly on the wall. Conversations that I'm not privy to.
Sure.
So I would love to do that. Just, like, get myself into, like, these super secret meetings, learn all the secrets, and then keep them to myself.
That sounds like you. I would learn the secrets and tell everyone. I don't want to hear what people think about me, and my fear would be that if I were invisible, people would be talking about me. Conversely, that no one's talking about me, and I'm just not important. Neither thing I want to learn.
Sure.
So That's fine. I don't want to know what people think about me. I also don't want to know what people don't think about me. I think I want to know the answer to our question, what if I eat something? What if I drink something?
Ooh, you do lots of experimentation.
There would be experiments going on. Can I pee? Is my pee invisible?
That's fun.
If I spit, is my spit invisible?
Ooh.
There's a lot of questions.
Yeah, I like that.
Can I put on other clothing and then run around and have people be all confused?
Oh, yeah.
I think I'd probably use it to frighten.
Yeah, I like the concept of, like, tormenting my friends and or family.
That's fair. I might torture a social worker just for kicks.
I mean, why not?
These seem like reasonable things to do. Buffy apparently uses it to kick cans down the road, sleep with somebody, basic things. So yeah, so I'm doing experiments, you're being a fly on the wall.
Yeah.
I like that for both of us.
Mm-hmm.
That works out nicely.
I agree.
Listen, thank you very much for writing in, Omega. If you'd like to write in, Jay and I watch us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Gmail. Literally.
All the things.
Thank you. Thank you for filling that in for me. So, okay, so the episode is starting to wrap up. What are your overall thoughts?
Sure.
I like this episode way better than the last couple we've had. I like a good shenanigan episode, though. While this one might not have, like, the most things happening, I do like that we get to see Spike having sex with an invisible Buffy.
Yeah, that was pretty funny.
And Xander walking in on that. That's hilarious. I like that Buffy finally learns who the trio, or not who they are, but like that they're...
Yeah, she finds out that they exist.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I like that they try to get away and are terrible at it. It just is great. I like that she kind of tests out certain bad, not bad, but she like tries to trick people and interact with the world and being invisible. So that's kind of fun. I don't hate it. I don't love it.
You got a ranking?
An 8.
An 8. That's pretty good. I like it. Omega thought this episode was a bit of a snooze.
Sure.
Not a lot going on. And I can totally see why. I find it to be more interesting, if only because it's in such a dull period of time. Like, the episodes have been so tepid that I am more interested in this one. I think there's a couple of things that throw me off. First, Dawn's reaction to finding out that Buffy is invisible. She goes from zero to, like, freaked out way too fast.
Yeah.
Doesn't make any sense for me why she's this freaked out. Especially as somebody who grew up in a magical household and magic was happening all the time. And, like, this shouldn't be this terrifying. I think cinematically there's some interesting things. Like, when Buffy gets this voicemail and she finds out that she's going to disappear. And they do a push-in to nothing because Buffy's not there. I think that is kind of fun and cool. I like the special effects, particularly in Spike's house where the sheet is over her.
Yeah.
It looks really good. It's solid. I think there's also a lot of reference to the Invisible Man story. So if you've ever seen the Invisible Man or have seen the Hollow Man, or there's many different versions of invisibility characters, the story typically goes a little bit more closely to the Out of Sight, Out of Mind episode from season one of Buffy, which again, they explicitly call out in this episode.
Mm-hmm.
When they first see Buffy invisible, he goes, Xander goes, have you been feeling ignored lately? A reference to that episode in which Marcy was summarily ignored by everybody at school to the point where she literally became invisible. In the Invisible Man story, typically, the person is invisible and goes insane because they don't get that social feedback that they're used to getting.
Yeah.
And it happens a lot more like what Marcy went through in that episode where she just goes nuts. So Buffy has a little bit of that. She gets to taste what it feels like to be outside of herself for a moment. And she really enjoys it. And I think if this had continued, she probably would have gone insane eventually. But I like the idea. I especially appreciate it with Buffy having been so sad and depressed this whole season. The idea that being outside of herself would be freeing. And how that is so similar to death, I think, has a close connection to, like, the theme of the season. Sure. With depression. Though at the end, she does make it into a story of, I didn't want my life to end. So when I knew that this was going to kill me, I was brought back to reality. And that is one of the ways that she kind of snaps out of her immediate depression symptoms. So I like the ideas. Some of the concepts are interesting. I do think that a lot of the dialogue in this episode felt pretty heavy-handed. Particularly the Xander and Anya scene at the magic box, because so many of those lines, like Anya saying, that remains to be seen, like you, it's so from the trailer.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't feel like a naturally occurring bit of dialogue. It also feels like something where they would have gathered the troops a lot faster and like had a magic box meeting, and that just didn't happen.
Yep.
Willow's out on her own adventure. Anya and Xander are doing their own thing. Nobody thinks to call Tara, the other magical person they know. Like, it just feels a little weird to me. But I do think that it's visually interesting. There's enough going on that I'm engaged, and it's certainly better than last week.
Uh-huh.
So I'm going to give it a 7. I think it's a pretty good moment. The decision to torture the social worker, though, is weird.
Yeah.
It comes out of left field. And not just that she decides to torture her, but that she decides to torture her and make her feel like a sociopath? A little weird for me.
I can see her sneaking into the social work's office and, like, destroying the file.
Retyping it, writing something new.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, this is obviously funnier. They also could have just not done the social work storyline at all, because I don't think that it does anything.
No.
I think that it just is too much reality in a show that's about fantasy.
Yep.
Also, at the beginning of this episode, we didn't talk about this, but at the beginning of this episode, Dawn is upset at Buffy specifically for getting into a car accident and hurting her arm, when that is explicitly Willow's fault.
Yeah.
But Buffy says, oh, she's mad at me for letting it happen. Like, Buffy didn't let it happen. Buffy wasn't there.
No.
So I think that anger is a little misplaced. It's a little strange.
I feel like Dawn rarely gets upset with Willow and Tara, and sometimes she should get upset with them specifically.
Yeah.
But I mean, maybe it's like a sister thing where you just take it out on your sister.
She did slap Willow.
That's fair.
Gave her a good slap last week.
I mean, she kind of deserved it.
It's true. We're here at the arcade for our thrilling conclusion. This arcade is weirdly full of adults only.
Yeah.
I don't think there's a single child in this entire sequence.
Well, I wonder if this is just like too late at night, where it's more of an adult crowd versus a child.
I mean, I guess, but like, are adults going to arcades this often?
If you have alcohol, perhaps.
This place doesn't look like it does. It's a ball pit, for God's sake. I know,
that's weird to me.
It's just a little strange. Like, I feel like they should have at least a couple of kids around.
Yeah, no, you're right.
But, you know, these things happen. One of my friends has an obsession with arcades, and so they bought a bunch of arcade cabinets and, like, an air hockey table, for example.
Ooh.
So their garage is, like, full of arcade stuff. So, like, I get that it is an adult thing. Also, like, nowadays, arcades are super old-fashioned.
Yeah.
Young people, younger than us, probably don't find arcades to be particularly entertaining, I would imagine, unless you're going to, like, an experience place, like a Dave and Buster's.
Yeah.
You know.
Oh, Dave and Buster's. Been there once.
We used to go every year at the end of the year for our staff retreat. We would go and, like, do things.
Yeah, the one time I was there was for a staff event, but we had an all-day meeting. Not, like, at Dave and Buster's, but, like, apparently there was, like, a meeting room. So we didn't get to play arcade games. We just got to be there and meet.
Yeah. Was there no time to arcade at all?
You could stay later, and they gave you, like, tokens. But I was like, we've been here all day. I don't want to spend more time here.
It's true. I feel like you should probably have, like, a lunch thing in between. That would be more reasonable. Yeah. But whatever.
I didn't design it.
So they get into a fight. It's all invisible. There's no choreography this week because it's all invisible nonsense.
Uh-huh.
Buffy turns them all invisible again. Or, I'm sorry, Willow turns them all invisible again. And they have a heart-to-heart on the curb outside.
They do, yeah.
Where Willow is commiserating about how everything takes so much longer without magic, but that she did do it, and Buffy commiserates about how she didn't want to die. So that's good.
I mean, at least they're finally talking about her feelings. Buffy, I think, still withholds that she's sleeping with Spike, but, you know,
yes.
At least some progress has been made.
Also, I know that we're almost at the end of the episode, but I do feel it necessary to point out, Ray Gun pisses me off.
What?
Like, the idea of there being a Ray Gun is annoying.
Really? Just in general?
Well, because, like, this is a fantasy show, not a sci-fi show. We've already had a freeze ray and a ray gun. Like, yeah. Ugh.
But the trio is, like, really into...
It definitely makes sense for them, and yeah. I get that. But, yeah, it's just so sci-fi. Like, seeing Allison Hannigan holding this big, comically large gun with a slowly rotating diamond is just so campy nonsense.
Yeah.
I can't get behind it. But,
yeah, I'm not into it either.
It is what it is. Well, anyways, this episode has been an experience.
It has.
Oh, did we talk about, what do you think of the new haircut?
Oh, I don't hate it. I think I like it better than season 2 hair.
Sure.
I think I just like Buffy better with longer hair.
It's what I'm used to seeing, frankly.
Yeah, but I don't hate it. I just don't like the flipping out bit.
They definitely pitched it as, like, the moment in Felicity where she cuts her hair. Like,
oh God.
Buffy cuts her hair. Oh my God. And she, like, immediately grows it out again. Spoilers. So, like, whatever.
Yeah.
I think it's short for maybe 2 or 3 episodes, and then it's suddenly long again. Let's keep an eye on the hair growth, shall we?
Ooh, we shall. Do you think it's, like, natural hair growth, or...
I bet there's extensions.
Yeah.
But also, like, who knows how much time actually passed between episodes, so it might be real, too.
It's true. They could have been, like, a break for shooting.
Like a pandemic, for example.
Yeah. Or just, like, a natural season break. They do those, right?
Mid-season breaks. They weren't as popular at this point, but yes, there were mid-season breaks.
Okay.
Pretty Little Liars doing their mid-season finale.
They're coming out with
a new series? Oh, my God. It's so ridiculous that show is getting more... Like, it just ended.
Yeah.
I'm still salty about the fucking... weird ending of that series. I'm gonna do another one. Ugh.
With the Riverdale, right?
Riverdale creator, which means it's gonna be garbage because, yeah. Oh, they're so terrible.
Yep.
The Riverdale universe is absolute trash. Sorry, Riverdale fans. 10 years from now, you're gonna watch that show and go, I can't believe I liked this. It's such trash.
I didn't understand why I got so much hype when it first came out to begin with.
The first season was so different. And weird. And I think a lot of the reason that it was interesting was because you were used to Riverdale being like, sweet and, like, Archie style.
Yeah.
It was sort of like when the Sabrina TV series came out, and you were like, well, I'm used to Melissa Joan Hart being happy and never having any kind of sadness or red coloring at all.
Yeah.
And then it was, like, blood and guts and whatever. And, like, I do think the Sabrina series is a little weak as well, but that's a whole other can of worms. It was, the first season was fine, and then it got so weird so fast. Now they're doing, like, a musical episode twice a season. Like, it's just bizarre.
No.
Yeah. It's not gonna work.
No.
Ugh, whatever. Anyway, that has been quite the experience. I have loved watching this episode with you. I would like to watch another.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not sure which one, though, so tell me what you'd like to see.
Maybe we should watch Buffy Season 6, Episode 12, Devil Meat Palace, which is perhaps the one when Buffy takes a job at a fast food restaurant and she comes to believe that disappearing coworkers and the secret ingredient to the restaurant's hamburger patties may be connected, which seems ominous.
Yeah, it does seem pretty ominous. Also, the episode is called Devil Meat Palace. I want to point out that in the episode Smashed, Amy was watching the television and there was a commercial for Devil Meat Palace.
Oh, really?
Yes, there was. So this is a weird, like, in-universe restaurant. So that's kind of fun.
Oh, weird.
Yeah. Well, I'm very excited to learn more about the Devil Meat Palace.
Me too.
To Serve Man as a Cookbook. Let's get into that, shall we? But anyway, team, if you'd like to write into us, Jane, I'll watch us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Gmail, literally all the things. Don't forget to subscribe to our show, all that stuff you do for podcasts. But for now, it's been real. It's been fun.
It's been real fun.
Later.
Bye.
Boop, boop.
Doo-doo.
Boop, boop. Boop, 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 boop. Ba-dum, bum, bum.
I'm into a good shenanigan. Yeah. I like it when they're afoot.
When there's shenanigans afoot?
Yeah.
Shenanigans.
I'm very confused by this person who always wants to sleep with this twirly sign.
I'm more confused with the girl who's from a very famous Netflix series who does this commercial.
Yeah.
Buffy's made invisible, goes a little crazy, tortures a social worker, almost turns to goo, unpleasant tactile sensation, arch nemesis sees.
Ooh.
So much happens. So much happens this week. Doesn't blow her up.
Like, on fire?
No, she tortures. Not torches.
Tortures.
I realize I'm a fast talker, but yeah, torch anybody. It'd be a very different show. Suddenly torching people.
I mean, it's happened before, I'm sure.